Narrative Frameworks 38 Words We use words to communicate. What we are communicating is that which the words denote, that which the words stand for. So communication is not just the exchange of words. Communication is the exchange of the meaning which is carried by words or symbolized by words. So words are not the reality. Words are what stand for the reality. And we need to remember this, because if we get lost in words, forgetting that words stand for something more than themselves, then we're lost in the symbol, we're lost in the image, we're lost in the framework, rather than the meaning we are framing with that framework. And words are wonderful and tricksy things. Words. It's almost like through words we can overcome limitation, because we can share that which we want to express. We can allow the flow of that which life wants to share with other aspects of itself. So words free us from our sort of individual containment. Words help us communicate information to and from and with each other. Of course, again, framing it as separation, because one person shares words with another person. One unit communicates with another unit. And this is the difference between communication and communion. Communication is exists in the duality of one person speaking, another person listening, and then the listener speaking and the speaker listening. Communion is that dropping into meditative silence, or rising into, ascending into this place of peace, however you want to frame it, whether it's a dropping down or rising up or expanding into or dissolving into. Communion is this sharing of sacred peace, this sharing of, you know, sitting and meditating alone is communion with your deeper self. There's no words needed. There's nothing needs to be said. It's a wordless place of being. That which cannot be said, only felt, known, directly experienced. And in a group, we sit, we meditate together. It's like recognizing our truth in shared recognition of our truth, beyond the divisions that words can engender. So like I say, words have the potential to free us, but only free us within the context of a duality. And words can also restrict us as well, because you can't communicate the depth that you experience within communion. And also, sometimes just daily things you can't properly express. You have a feeling, but maybe your capacity to use words as tools is limited. You don't have the vocabulary, or simply the words do not exist in your language in order for you to communicate a certain thing. So words within the duality have the power to liberate, but also to limit. I mean, you can share a word and you're sharing your feeling, but another person may hear the word based on their experience of what the word means. We share the same dictionaries, definitions, but we each have nuanced understandings of words, to the point where one word can be said, for example, God, And there are innumerable understandings of what that word means, of what it represents. But like I said, the word is not the thing. So that word God may symbolize lots of different things to lots of different people. All different aspects of a spectrum of possibility, perhaps, that word. But is there an essence underlying the word which is universally consistent? So that's the first part, that words have an ability to liberate or limit us, or we feel liberated or limited through our use of words in a dualistic world. Beyond words is the meaning. Beyond communication is the communium. And yet words, thoughts, understandings can lead us to communion. It's like we can use words to dissolve words, to come into the bliss of our being. And that bliss of our being we can come out of and try and express with the words available to us, this kind of poetry of expression. Whether it's poetic or not. And perhaps another aspect of words is, are they divisions or are they synonyms? You know, different words for the same thing, a synonym. Like a napkin and a serviette, perhaps synonyms, perhaps. Different words, same thing. So, for me, love like God, pure consciousness, pure energy, pure awareness, these are synonyms. When we're talking about the ultimate, these are synonyms. They're different words used to express the same inexpressible essence. The essence that can only be felt but not known, but we can use words as pointers towards it. So words can be used in this way as pointers rather than boxes. Because as boxes, words become divisions. Love is one thing, light is another thing, God is something else. And I'm not saying those divisions are bad. In a relative dualistic world, we need to have things divided out and measured, and so that we can function and understand each other through our communication and our functioning. Because communication in the world is essentially based on surviving and thriving and all the things human body-mind entities do. But when we're pointing to the ultimate, beyond just these relative specifics, words tend to fail us, and so they take on this looser quality, this quality of pointers rather than boxes. So are we understanding words as labels or essence? Are we understanding words as the sign or symbol or the actuality, the image or the reality? Are we getting lost through our use of words in the labels, or are we really seeing the essence that the labels stand for? So it's really a case of, where do you live? Do you live in the image, the construct, the matrix of words, or do you live in the reality, that which that construct denotes and serves and represents? Because if you don't know you're living in the image, you believe it to be a reality. If you don't know you're living in a label, then you think the label is the actuality. And in this way, we're removed from our core. We become edge dwellers, if you like. We live on the edge of existence rather than the center. We live in the constructed matrices, nets of communication flows, without really being that space over which those nets exist. And this is how we get lost in things like the internet, because we think we are the image, we think we are the sign, we think we are the word, we think we are the picture. Not knowing that who we are is the soul, the spirit, beyond the word, beyond the picture. The soul, the spirit that employs the word and the picture in order that it may communicate certain things in its experiential journey, its relative world existence. So the more we get lost in the label, the image, at the expense of the essence and the reality, the more we are led astray into constructs further and further. You know, you start shifting into a construct, you move away from your source and into a label, into a word, rather than the thing the word stands for, or the thinglessness the word stands for. If you've gone that far out, if you've taken that one removal, you can easily be removed further and further and further. So this is why spirituality is about returning to your core, living in your core, being in your core, because in your core, in your essence, you are not removed anywhere else. Your life is honoured where you are, in yourself. And yes, words and labels can help in that honoration, but they can also be pathways through which we deviate from that honoration. So we need to be careful. We need to see the power of words. And you need to see, we all need to see, where we are living. Are we living in the words, or are we living in the reality? Are we lost in the argument, lost in this sort of ever circulating philosophy, or is the argument actually pointing to something more? Is the philosophy celebrating the life at root rather than just going in circles of limited mind? So that's another thing, the essence, the reality is more of the source, more of the spirit. The labels, the image, are more of the mind, the thought, the construct. So where are you? Again, where do you exist? Who are you? Are you the construct? Are you the reality? Are you the name? Are you the namelessness? So words. Words, interesting, isn't it? The way words are spelt, spellings. Casting spells with the words we use. Words, if you just take the S off of the end and put it at the front, it becomes a sword. A word is a powerful device. And through our words, the way the words are spelt, you know, the spellings, we are casting spells all the time through our use of words. We are bringing the essence into particular form. We are bringing the what is beyond the construct into particular constructs through the words we use. These are spells we are making. We are casting spells of reality. We are casting reality into particular pathways through the words we use. And the words are obviously built of letters, and these letters work in arrangements to create spellings, spells of existence. And words come together in sentences, and sentences, what are we sentencing? I mean, you talk of a prison sentence, you talk of, you know, are we casting reality into, are we giving it a sentence? Are we, through our words, are we boxing all possibility into just one set of possibilities, or one possibility? Is, you know, like limiting freedom, like the free man limited into a prison cell, into a given a life sentence, life given a sentence, essence given a direction, boundlessness given a limitation. So spelling, sentences, words, swords, there's magic at play here, and it's a magic that we've largely our awareness has largely let fade away, and we're using spellings, words, sentences unconsciously, repetitively, culturally reproducing certain words, phrases, not knowing perhaps the power that lends itself to them. And again, this comes back to the power that is life. The power that is life is channeled through our own particular configuration of consciousness, and that includes how we use words and how words are used upon us. So we need to see that above the door, it doesn't just say entrance, it says entrance. It's like we enter different realms through words. Words and worlds, they're, you know, it's very similar sounding, just one letter different, L. Words and worlds. We're existing in worlds, which are particular possibilities of consciousness made manifest. And we make consciousness manifest in particular ways through words. And I could be making all this up, but maybe we're making everything up all the time, and perhaps that's the point. Consciousness coming into form. We confuse ourselves to be the form when we are not only the form, we are the consciousness that comes into the form. So if we can see that we are more than just our body-mind frameworks and edges and constructs and boxed sense of life, we can come back to the boundless sense of life, the greater possibility, which is divine, and which is our birthright. But we have to know for ourselves, we have to know ourselves for ourselves, and see from this point of knowing.